Thanks, Leon, and good morning all. Going well? So, as Margie mentioned, in regards to what was on the screen, I'm also using large print with my glasses. Hey, Leon also mentioned a couple of things there with regards to the time spent together as the leadership group, people involved in ministry leadership and facilitating here at Victor Harbour Church of Christ. That was a particularly valuable time. And as I explained to the folk as we gathered Friday evening, it was very much about Margie and I having the opportunity to catch on to what is actually happening ministry-wise through the life of fellowship. So Leon will explain a little bit later what he meant by games, because it sort of wasn't... Well, it's probably a good term anyway. Now, what else do I need? Oh, the other thing too, which happened yesterday, a number of the team were across at up the hill at Bunnings, turfing out sausages at a great rate of knots. And the figure was, who have we got here? Trevor? The figure was? 1262. So over $1,200 towards the support of the chaplaincy ministry, which is really good value. And we've had the opportunity, Margie and I have had the opportunity to connect a little bit with that ministry over the last few days. And it really is, it's a great avenue of ministry, of taking, as it were, the living personal expression of the gospel into the schools. And it's great. So I'm sure we appreciate the work that's been done by the team yesterday, very tangible, practical sort of stuff. As well as knowing the end result is lives touched, as it were, and the Lord speaking into even more lives. Okay, so yes, our theme this morning relates to reminder call. Thanks, Des. Can you get me started? Because I can't see a thing. Oh, yes, I can now. That's good. And as you would appreciate, something else I've learnt this morning, some practical things I need to do. In the sense of, there you go, that's that bit. Technology, I'm getting really good at this. I can actually see that now. So nobody else was using it? You weren't using it? I'll turn it back later on for you, Leon, so that's good. It's just that bit helps me when we get a little bit later on into our message time. So this is the second to last of our themes taken out of the covenant. For those who remember, way back to May the 6th, so it's a fair way away now, but I deliberately taken extracts out of that covenant so as that we can sort of sense the, hey, yeah, we agreed to this, so we've got something to work on together. So these are some of the themes that we have covered. And appreciating they're just terms here, but I endeavoured to unpack them quite a bit on the various occasions that we've gathered now over the last couple of months. So understanding, leading, loving in spite of failings. These are all terms out of that script, out of that covenant. Walking through different seasons, okay, and it should add up to 7 or 8. Encouraging, speaking the word, and work, which was the one that we looked at last week. So that brings us up to this particular phrase that came out of that covenant to remember the call of Jesus to go into the entire world, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey the words of Christ. Now, in the actual script, I took out the word, or highlighted the word, as you can see it there in bold print, to remember. And I thought that was a valid thing to do in the sense of remembering this, what your phraseology or these phrases that you're possibly quite familiar with. Now, I thought to myself, we actually, when we get together, do we do a lot of remembering? You know, we have this, it's hidden this morning, but just to give you an idea for those with really good vision, Eli couldn't read it because he had failing vision, but the whole thing of remembering is a very significant part of our celebration on a Sunday morning. Well, pretty well often as we gather, we have that opportunity to remember. So, following through that script that we used, what am I remembering? So I'm looking to remember the call. And thanks for the visual this morning, Leon. Is anybody tempted to press the green button? You know, the brr, 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 you know. We had some really good ones over the weekend, some folk who had their mobile phones with them in the leadership forum. You know, I don't recall ever getting a call from God that goes, dun, 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 dun. But anyway, but it's that aspect that I want to focus on is the aspect of the call. Now, as we read that script, as I remind you of the script from our induction service, what does that remind you of? The phraseology, the terms in that. Yeah, what's that called, Barry? Barry tells funny stories, you know. Really, at a leadership forum, I'm not sure if funny stories are appropriate, but it was funny. So what was it, Barry? Yeah, what we call the Great Commission. Now, you're familiar with that? That's a really good call. It's a really good call. But can you make another? Where does that call? I'm anticipating this morning that many of you are familiar with the scriptures. Where does that call appear? Ah, it's on the screen, Matthew 28. But I mean, in regards to the life of Jesus, when does that appear? When does the call come? Yeah, right. The people have been with him for quite some time. It's towards the end of his earthly ministry. Now, I think that's really important to keep that in mind. Really important to keep that in mind. So hold on to that thought, appreciating that we've got quite a few thoughts in our minds already this morning. Keep that thought in mind. Now, we're going in this direction now. Samuel. Yeah, quick little scan. I learned a new term yesterday at the leaders forum, and it requires both hands. It's called scoping. You put your hand up like this, like a telescope. That was my, sorry. It was nothing like the term, but scoping is actually sort of drawing, going like a telescope, sort of. So I'm scoping this morning. Who knows the story of Samuel? A few more hands, please, because I'm convinced that a lot of you know the story of Samuel. All right, probably got a high level of comprehension of that story. You know the background? Mother Hannah, right? Mother Hannah was very, very longing to be a mum. And in actual fact, that longing became so much created in many ways, and you can read the narrative before the bit that Margie read this morning, and you can discover just how difficult it was. It was quite a traumatic experience that she just wanted to be a mum. And it wasn't just an internal sort of trauma that was going on. She was ridiculed, she was derided, she was given a real hard time because she couldn't have a child, right? And in the process of that longing for, she's pleading, she got a lovely, beautiful relationship with her husband, she got a beautiful relationship with God, and she wants this child. So that's the backdrop. That's the sort of what they call the backstory of this little fella rolls up, and he is literally a miracle. Because there was no IVF in those days, all right? So it's literally a miracle that this boy arrives. And a part of this woman in the depth of her relationship with God, she has pleaded and agreed that she would actually, as this child arrives, she would actually dedicate this young fella totally to the service of the Lord. Now, she's not offering him up as a sacrifice as such. She is dedicating her only and possibly would be her only child. Okay, so mums here can probably appreciate a little bit of what might be involved in that emotionally, mentally, physically, or the whole bit. So she does that. And she is true to her promise, the way that she's worked out her relationship with God. And this little fella is to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, you know all of this, don't you? Now, the challenge I find in being familiar with a personal account in the Word of God is that that personal account is actually part of God's plan to show me something personal about my personal relationship with Him. It's not designed to be a lovely, oh, it's just such a wonderful Bible story. It was never designed to be a Bible story. Designed to be the living Word speaking into our lives so that in this particular case, I can appreciate, I can comprehend, I can understand, I can access what this living account says to me about my living account. Understand what I'm saying? Because otherwise I'm reading through, I might as well read through Donald Duck comics. Because Donald Duck will teach you something. But God isn't about teaching me something. He wants to show me something. Something personal, something real, something's relevant. And probably the most, I can't say the most relevant, because there's a lot of these life sort of capsules threaded through, spread through the Word of God that keep reminding us what it means to get a call from God. Now, you're very familiar with the story. In some ways, I need to be a little bit mechanical this morning, but at the same time, I realise I should say, sort of pause between the lines, because you heard the lines, but do you know, can you sense what's happening between the lines? Okay, so here's the little fella, probably 3 years old, and the mum handing over her son into the context of what we would call it's tabernacle, it's sort of church, it's priestly context, it's all the ritual of the tabernacle and sort of everything that goes on there. And here's this little fella placed in that context. The community itself around the tabernacle might have been 100 plus a few more, and others coming and going at different times. But he's basically presented to Eli as being the main priest in charge of the tabernacle. Now, all of that's possibly not as relevant, but can you appreciate what Mum's doing there? Now, it would be indicated that Mum would see her child perhaps once a year. You go, Mum's cool. I can do that. I can take my little 3-year old and put him in this context with all of this very, in some ways, very adult, very sort of sophisticated, detailed, you know, conceptual God stuff all happening around them. So that little fella's placed in the care of older priest. Oh, that's sort of cool. Until you realise that little fella's now going to grow up, theoretically, in a wonderful environment. But for those who have sort of read behind that script that Margie presented to us, would realise that actually wasn't a really, really healthy environment. Should have been, but it wasn't. Eli was in some way losing his tuneness with God as the senior. He's got a lot of disappointment that he's working with, because his boys, who are theoretically to step into the role, they're wayward. They are just abusing their position. And here's the little fella. In that context, you just sort of wonder, how's that little fella going to turn out? Well, we do know that from the time when he was a little 3-year old to about the age 12, 13, it appears, that Samuel did grow up, obviously grew up in that context. He was visually seeing things. He was hearing things. Eli was doing, he's given it his best shot in the sense of mentoring this little fella. And obviously there would have been some form of care from a mother figure. We don't know. There's no details mentioned there. But we find this young fella has a wonderful opportunity to sort of be in that environment and begin to comprehend. What do these things in this place mean, and how do they work, and what's the purpose, and what's this relationship with God about? So he's taking all of that on board, just like our children, just children these days, would in the schooling context take on board a whole lot of life realities and being prepared for life and educated and knowledge and all those types of things. So that's all been happening. And we come to our script this morning, that portion of the story that Marty's read for us. And we see, so the question now is, the familiar, why is the young fella sitting so close to that particular, that's a portrayal of what's called the Ark of the Covenant. Understood to contain the Ten Commandments, and understood to be very much that now that place of focus for God's people. Previously it was fire by night and cloud by day, but now the real point of focus, I didn't move for that purpose. Point of focus is this Ark of the Covenant. So a question for those who are perhaps have an idea, what's going on? Why is young so close? We actually don't have an answer as such. But it's like as if here's a young fellow, 13 years of age, sitting very, very close to a spiritual powder keg. Very, very close to the very centre of the focus of a whole nation. And here's this 13-year-old sleeping there. The place where most likely if God's going to say something, he's going to say it there. You've heard this story before. Is there any significance in that? I think there is. That place of meeting for young Samuel is significant for us when we realize where we are right now. Right? Now, I'm not too sure if there's anybody here willing to be an illustration. Anybody happy to come up here and lie down in front of that table? Thanks, Leon. Good. Yeah, just you can actually go to sleep if you want. Legitimately, I give you permission to go to sleep. Now, for you and I, in a faith perspective, that's probably the most powerful place you could locate yourself physically. Now, I make that emphasis as a reminder, as people who share the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul says, be very, very conscious of what you're doing. You've heard that, haven't you? 1 Corinthians 11. Why does he say that? Well, let me step out and suggest to you that every time you take that bread and that cup, listen. We can be busy remembering, but listen. It's probably the most likely point of time that the Lord will speak into your life. Now, I don't do that as any superstitious type thing, but simply to say, this is the place we gather. We come into this place called, we could call it a tabernacle in the Old Testament imagery. We come into a place with the anticipation that we will have a new encounter with God. Anybody notice that banner on the wall? Isn't it absolutely useless? Unless you look at it. And then consider, when I come into this place, am I anticipating a new encounter? Or am I going to be happy with 10 years ago, I heard this wonderful sermon by this wonderful preacher and he convinced me of something I can't remember? Because the Lord's not working like that. He's saying, I want to meet you often. I want you to experience new encounters with me. I want your relationship with me to... How you going, Leon? I'm not waking you up, am I? You can head back and sit in the front row again if you like. Thanks, Leon. That's well performed. Yes. But the point, that point being, as a people of faith, we anticipate. We move to spaces where we will actually hear. Now, you know, you and I know, happened once. Samuel hears that call, and it's not in his framework to consider, oh, that might be God making a call. That's not in his framework. Now, I've just put in your framework of thinking, expect that. When you come to this place, expect to hear the Lord speak into your life. Samuel didn't have the framework. So initially, where does he go? Well, the only logical place, it's the old boy next door. It's Eli. He's pretty aged now. He needs a bit of a hand. I'll whip over there and see what it is. Early hours of the morning, that doesn't bother me. Young bloke, up and about. He's good for it. Well, it's not Eli. So back to sleep, back to bed they go. Now, we know that between the lines, you and I possibly think, oh, Eli, old bloke, back to... straight away. Now, Samuel, being a younger bloke, goes back to bed. His mind goes for a little bit longer. Now, I'm reading in a bit because I think we actually discover. For those who read the script, you'll see that Eli's terminology changes the second time. Because, believe it or not, the lights are going on for Eli. He's an old bloke. His relationship with the Lord seems to be tapering. He's not as alert spiritually as he once was. But now something's happening. This young bloke. So the second time that Samuel comes back, Eli, by this simple terminology, indicates that he's catching on to something. He calls Samuel my son. Well, he's not his son, is he? But he is his spiritual son. So Eli's catching on. Something's happening here. Third time. And between the second and the third, we have this just a little neat narrative that tells us that Samuel, as a young boy growing up in this wonderful context with its downside, has still not come to know the Lord personally. The Lord had not spoken into his life personally. Now that's I suppose I'll venture out that far. It can happen today. People can be in a context such as this for many, many years and not know the Lord. Now, I've got to make sure that I'm not responsible for that. And so I hope you've heard me say this morning, and I'll remind you again before I finish this morning, it's critical that you hear the Lord call you. He'll call your name. Now, before you rush off, you mature Christians,
Mature Christians, do you know what the Lord calls you to? The Great Commission? Well, what about fishing? Be a fisher of men. Is that the one? You know the initial call was? Toward me. Come. Some of you think straight away of the beautiful hymn. I come. Do you know, I wonder why so many people responded to that wonderful hymn? Because that's what the call is. Out of that coming toward the Lord will come the call to follow. Will come the call to fish. Will come the call to go by twos. Will come the call to go into all the world. Will come the call to be my people. Will come the call to... A whole lot of things will flow out of it. But if I get it the wrong way round, if I think that he's actually calling me to that before he calls me to himself, I'll miss the dynamic. The dynamic of a relationship that just gets richer and richer. So it was that when Jesus first called the disciples, called them by name, simply the call was this way. Toward, come to me. Come this way. This interesting word appears the third time. The third time that Samuel hears the Lord call his name. It's an interesting word that we sort of think of it as if there, you know, possibilities, probabilities, percentages, or whatever. The Hebrew term says, when it happens, it's not if. You've heard the term? If. It's not if, it's when. In the Hebrew terminology, that's what this means. When you hear that call again. When you hear that call again, here's your starting bit. To hear the Lord call your name. There's some very distinctive features about the Christian faith. And to my understanding, this is the most distinct. A person making a personal call for you to know him personally. The opportunity to listen. And on this occasion, we're listening specifically. And we're not listening for, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Lord, I'm listening for my name. Call me, Lord. Is that different space for you? I asked that question quite deliberately. Is that new space for you? Because within the Christian community, we've perhaps become so familiar with the fact that the Lord is calling me to go and to be and to do. And When you look at what happened for Samuel at the age of 13, when he started to listen, it was heavy-duty stuff that he listened to. But the critical thing is, he heard the Lord call his name. That's where it starts. So as we spend these moments and as we finish up this morning and as we sing our final song, I invite you to keep listening. Maybe stop singing for the purpose of listening. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we are beginning to comprehend that it is your heart's desire, it is the delight of your heart when we hear you speak into our lives, when you speak our name personally. And so, Lord, I pray again that in the wonder of your grace, the wonder of your mercy, the wonder of your steadfast love, you would speak again into each and every one of our lives, and by your Spirit simply call our name, that we would know you, that we would know you. In Jesus' name. Amen.